So I was actually lived fairly close by. So I ran over there, like freaking out, wondering what the heck was going on. There was literally a waterfall coming from that unit above, filling up the doorway for the unit below. It flooded the one unit. It flooded the other unit. So flooded two units. The unit that it was in was actually vacant, which was, like, of course, crazy because nobody's there to stop it. By the time I got there, that tenant, they couldn't get out their door because it was an ice wall that had formed. It had been going for like 3 hours, and my caretaker at the building knew it was happening, and he was trying to figure out how to stop it himself and didn't call anybody. Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it. Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend, Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy to understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars to claim your free course today. Hey, welcome back to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. With me, as always, on these hump day hustles is John Stiles with Bridge Realty. John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Todd. How are you today?
I am doing fantastic. Well, first, before we get started, I've got something I want to talk about. And I'm now going to be I'm volunteering with this organization called the Best Christmas Ever. And it is basically what it is, you know, a family that's had some major hardships with no fault of their own. And instead of having like no presents underneath a Christmas tree or very little presents underneath the Christmas tree, we're going to come and have presents for them to be able to put under their Christmas tree. And this started, the founder basically had some hard times. He had a 3-year-old, he was a single dad, and it was like the day before Christmas and there was nothing to give his son. And he's like, how can I tell my 3-year-old that Santa Claus skipped our house? And so it kind of started, you know, through that. And anyway, so this organization I'm going to be helping out with, helping get donations, helping secure, you know, presents for these families. And so why I'm talking about this right now, well, first of all, because people can, you know, definitely look at donating and they can talk to me about that. And I'll maybe as we go here, I'll probably put some stuff on the show with how they can link up to me. Right now, we're not at that donation phase yet. We're trying to find families. And so we need to find families that can be nominated, and then we choose those families to be able to provide the best Christmas ever to. So if anybody listening, this could be all over, actually all over the world, but all over the U.S., all over the world, if anybody's listening and they know a family who's fallen on really hard times and really needs something like this, where we can come in and provide them with things that are really going to help set them up for the future. They can nominate them. And so they can go on to bcemovement.org. So it's Best Christmas Ever, bcemovement.org. And they can just go to, right when they click on it, it's like says, nominate a family, and they can nominate a family. And you don't need to tell the family you're nominating them. You can do it without them knowing. It doesn't really matter. But somebody who's, you know, family, like I said, who's fallen on hard times, if you're going, boy, I mean, whatever, mom got sick or whatever happened, it doesn't matter, honestly. But we just want to help those families. So people that want to do that, go on to bcemovement.org. And then as we go, yeah, we'll be talking about, you know, how they can provide support too, if anybody wants to do that. Of course, I don't require anybody to do it, but if they want to, they're more than welcome to. So on with the show. Today, we're not talking about Christmas. Today, we're talking about ghosts in the graveyard, right? We're talking about scary stories, because what day is today, John?
Well, the day this will be released will be Halloween.
It's Halloween. So we got some scary stories we want to tell about some ghosts and goblins, and probably mostly just about tenants, right? So, John, do you want to have the honors to kick off, or do you want me to?
Oh, I could kick it off, and I'm sure you could top mine, but...
How about you kick it off? I've got some stories. I don't know. They're all good. I'm sure yours is plenty good too. So why don't you start us off? We'll see what you got. And then
if they're coming here looking for inspiration about getting into real estate and becoming a landlord, I don't know if they should listen to this particular episode.
Right. This is very scary. So if you don't want to be scared, you know, tune out right now. And I hate telling people to not listen to my show, but you know, this is going to be scary.
Yep. Well, so I guess my first story would be, it's a recent event here. Uh-oh. I woke up in the middle of the night just the other day, and I glanced at my phone. Of course, I shouldn't ever do that in the middle of the night, but I glanced at my phone and I see I got a new email. And the subject line is mold. And I'm thinking to myself, oh no. So I look at the email, open it up. Of course, now I'm sitting up in bed and starting to worry, because you never want mold in a property. I mean, that's like a landlord's worst nightmare. Right. It happened to me in the middle of the night. So I open up the email, and I don't recognize the sender. It's it actually looks like a phone number. You know how sometimes you can send an email with your phone number?
Yep.
So it looked like that, but it wasn't a phone number I recognized. In fact, later I kind of searched that number in my contacts, and I couldn't figure out who it was that sent it. Nobody. I couldn't find them in my contacts, but. And then in the body of the email, it wasn't actually legible. You couldn't even read it. Like it was a bunch of garbly gook. You know, there was some letters and some numbers and some, there was like one image attachment. And I was like, oh no, what am I going to see? Is this some mold that I'm going to see? And from one of my tenants, they've got some problem. Then, you know, your mind just races, like, oh no, they're going to report me to the health yeah, board. Yeah. Are they going to call the, you know, the city, and I'm going to get sued. And, I don't know. I pulled up the image and it was not mold. It was like, I don't remember now, but it was like the name of a company. And I looked up that name of the company. It was some company that creates molding devices, like, so you can, you know, make things. But you know, that's spelled differently. That's That's a different type of mold.
Right. MOULD.
In the subject line, it said MOLD. So anyways, to this day, I don't know who sent this email. I don't know what the email says because it's unreadable. And yeah. Well, anyways,
you got some weird virus on your computer.
Right. Most likely my phone is infected now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's like a life lesson, right? Don't touch people you don't know because you might get a virus. Right. So the life lesson there would be, don't look at your phone at night, man. Yeah. Like only when you're working. So on your phone, you can put in a do not disturb deal. And that's what I've done now. I do not disturb. Now I put it on and I didn't set any like guidelines for it. So that my wife would call me. I was out of town and, you know, time zones are different. And she's trying to call me. And it's on do not disturb. And I didn't have it that she was accepted to be one of those people. So now I've readjusted my settings so she can call at any time, but most people can't call me. My tenants, especially, they can't call me at 1 o'clock in the morning and try to disturb me. And I can't get an email. Well, I guess I could, if I looked at my phone and actually went into it, but it doesn't give me notifications at night. So, well, that's good. That's pretty funny. I'm going to tell some tenant stories. Okay. So I've got one of my favorite ones is, I got so many favorite ones. One of my favorite ones is I had a tenant. This was one of my first properties. I think it was my second property I ever purchased. And she was a great lady. I was self-managing at the time. I was self-maintenance and doing everything. And so she had been living there, I think, for a short period of time, maybe 3 months or so. And it was her, and I believe it was one or two of her kids. And then she had two other kids, and those two other kids were her sister's children, who her sister was in jail, and her sister's boyfriend, that was the dad, was also in jail, and she was custody over the kids. And I knew this going into it, but, you know, that was really awesome because she's taking care of these kids, you know, and I didn't think anything of it. And quite frankly, I couldn't have denied her for it anyway. Anyway, everything's going well. She's paying rent and super nice lady, like I said. And all of a sudden I get this phone call, like, morning on like a Saturday, and it's my tenant, and she says, I have to move out. I can't tell you where I'm going. And kind of explains the situation, says, you know, the dad got out of jail and found me and tried to kick in my door and then couldn't get in, so he took a gas can and dumped it around the house and tried to light the house on fire. Did not light the house on fire. Luckily, he wasn't a smart pyro. He went into the garage, busted the garage open, and smashed the car apart in the garage, slashed the tires, smashed the car apart. And then the police came and he ran off. But she said, I can't be here anymore. And she said, here's the police officer. The police officer says, you know, you can come. She's going to take all her belongings that are possible. And once she's gone, she's gone. We can't tell you where she's going. Nothing else. You know, they signed a little release deal that said that she wasn't, you know, her stuff could go wherever and I could deal with it however I chose. And she's done with her lease and that's it. Last time I heard from her, just disappeared. So yeah, crazy. Luckily, the damage to the property were very minor. I had to, I think, replace the front door, and I had to get rid of a few of her belongings. She took most of her stuff, and I had to, you know, get rid of the smashed up car, which I actually made money on. on the smashed up car. So that was quite the like second property experience. My first property experience, this isn't quite as crazy of a story, but one of the things I learned from my first experience, I had a tenant that was in there and she was Section 8. And with Section 8, they allow a certain amount of rent and they were going to pay more rent for if I paid the heat. And I'm like, whoa, geez, you know, that bill, like what they're allotting for the heat, like I never spend that a month for that. So I'll pay the heat. That's great. Well, little did I know that when you pay your own tenant's heat, they don't care how hot it is inside the house. And they don't care if the winters are open or windows are open in the winter. And in Minnesota, it does get kind of chilly in the winter. And so I remember one time going over there after my heat bill was like $700 in a month. And I go over there to figure out what's going on with the furnace and the windows are wide open in, you know, December or January. It's, you know, 10 degrees outside. The windows are wide open and you walk into the house and you're sweating instantly because it's 90 degrees in there. That's when I figured out, there's nothing wrong with the furnace. The tenant just cranks the heat because she don't have to pay for the heat. She doesn't care. So yeah. That's scary story number two.
Yeah, and people that come from different parts of the world are used to different things, you know. So
right.
We've definitely experienced some people like that who just crank the heat up and complain that it's too cold.
Do you got another scary story, John, or you want me to continue?
I'll throw in another one about a property repair issue. I've got a fourplex that all four bathrooms are back to back and on top of each other. And they all share one common wall for their plumbing supply and drain pipes. And, you know, there's nothing too suspenseful about this, but in the past we've had a water leak there and it's just such a nightmare to try to figure out where is the water coming from, you know, which one of the bathrooms. And it was an inconsistent leak. So it's not like continuously going on and on. It's just sometimes it leaks, which at least tells you it's probably not a supply or in the supply before the shutoffs, the handle. But yeah, and I think it was from, I can't remember if this particular one was from the second floor or first floor, but anyways, yeah, that was just painful to try to figure out which wall do we tear open to figure out where this water is coming from and how do we investigate that. Eventually a contractor found out that, well, and plus, who do you call for that? You know, is it the plumber? Is it the contractor? Who is it? But eventually the plumber contractor found out that I think the tub spout had pulled away from the pipes in the wall. Mm. And so it was leaking in the wall when water was going to that bathtub. So
yep. I actually had the exact same thing happen, John, to another property fairly recently. And we couldn't figure out it either. And the good thing with that one is it was just leaking into the basement and it was an open basement.
Yeah.
It wasn't a huge deal, but it still was like, we'd go down in the basement, you know, and tenants would always be complaining like there's water in the basement again. You know, it was pretty much an everyday thing. Well, of course, because they're taking a shower every day. So anytime you turned it on, that would happen. That's funny. So you did get it fixed. Got it taken care of.
Yeah. Awesome. Thankfully, there wasn't too much to repair with that tile there.
Did you have mold?
I don't think so, but I know the contractor would have taken care of it if there were. But
yeah, I was thinking maybe that's why you got the email.
Maybe. No.
So I had a property that these tenants did not notify me. They weren't very good at notifying me when they had repair issues. In this particular case, they had a major repair issue that they should have notified me. So the tenant says, our basement has a lot of water in it. I've owned this property for a long time and it's never had water in it. And it hasn't been particularly rainy. Like it's been that year was a really dry fall. I'm like, why is there water in it? I'm like, well, you know, do you have any leaking pipes? No pipes are leaking. Everything's good. Okay. Well, you know, I'll swing by there and be over in the area. So I swing by and I'm checking around and I go into the basement and the basement's got standing water in it in spots. Luckily the floors were tilted, cause you'll find out why. Luckily the floors, you know, had areas where the water was pretty deep, but it also had a couple of areas where I could kind of walk through a little bit. And I'm like, looking, I'm like, oh my gosh, I think I know what this is. And so I said, hey, flush the toilet for me. So she flushes the toilet and water comes out into the basement. The sewer was backed up. It comes up into the basement. I could see the water flowing and I could see turds floating around. Their poop was everywhere in that basement. It was disgusting. And this had been going on. I asked her, I'm like, how long has this been happening? Well, we noticed water down there a few weeks ago. You didn't tell me? You've had poop in your house this whole time and you chose not to tell me you got poop floating in your basement. So we had to get a pump. I hired a company that, actually I didn't hire a company. I hired a couple young guys that came in. They pumped out the water. They filled garbage bags full of human crap to get it out of the house. They dressed themselves in Tyvek suits with, you know, the air masks and like everything, head to toe, they were covered. They taped themselves off, rubber glove, the whole deal. So they didn't get any poop on them. Cause this whole basement, I mean, and you couldn't smell it. Like it smelled a little kind of off, but what the second that water was pumped out of there, oh my gosh, it was horrible. So was I
finished basement or unfinished?
Unfinished. Everything was unfinished, which was great, but still this was nasty. And the poop is wet. People at home, hopefully you're not eating right now. Okay. I'm hoping. If you are, well, you know, I'm sorry. He filled up like 9 garbage bags full of this. Well, and they're not full, right? Because they're heavy because it's wet. So you can't like overfill them. That was a horror story. That was disgusting.
Yeah.
I felt bad for these, it was two kids, younger, I shouldn't call them kids. They were, you know, they were like 20, young 20s. And they were my laborers and I paid them, I think at the time they were getting like $12 an hour. Kid calls me up. He's like, this is not $12 an hour work. I can't do this for $12 an hour. I'm like, look, I'll pay you $40 an hour. Just get it done.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, so.
You gotta have a good stomach to deal with this type of stuff, huh?
Yeah. When you have poop floating in your basement, that's definitely not a good thing. So, yeah, that was really gross. Very, really gross. Hey, I want to interrupt this episode real quick to talk to you about Nate Armstrong. Our sponsor, Nate Armstrong, he's with homeinvest.com, and you want to get to know Nate. So go to homeinvest.com and just connect with Nate. Talk to him. Learn about his operation, what he's got going on. He's a turnkey provider, and it may not be right for you, but it could be the perfect fit. So it doesn't hurt. It's a free call, free consultation, just to figure out, you know, what they do, what they have to offer. And worst case is you're going to meet a great person who's really well educated in real estate. He's done a ton of different real estate strategies and probably is going to teach you a little bit, even on a short conversation with him. So go to homeinvest.com and connect with Nate's company. You're definitely not going to be disappointed. It's worth it. So thanks. And we'll get back to our show. You got another horror story, John, or you want me to keep going? I got more.
I'm getting low here, but you know, we just, as you know, we're doing Airbnb recently, just this month.
Yeah.
We've got one of our first Airbnb horror stories.
Come on. You already got one?
Yep.
Oh, I love it. Let's hear it.
This guy, he booked the place like last minute. And we're like, what? It's kind of weird. But he checked out. I mean, it's not like he was from in town. He was from out of state, which makes sense. If he's in town, he needs a place to stay. And he was verified through Airbnb. He's got a review already. So somebody else reviewed him, right? So he's good. He's verified. And we have no reason to deny it, you know? We want the money. So we approved him. My wife met him when he checked in, and he smelled like weed. And we're like, okay, that's not good, but whatever. And then like immediately my wife and I had this conversation. So what do we do if somebody smokes downstairs? Well, we're going to have to kick him out. So that same evening, we smell smoke. Immediately, I knock on the door, ring the doorbell, let them know. It's obvious that you're smoking inside. You need to stop it immediately. I sent them a message through the Airbnb system. I texted them, so they got the message. He said, oh, I'm sorry, won't happen again. Sorry for the inconvenience. Okay, we're good for the night. The next morning, smell it again. And thankfully, we contacted Airbnb, and they were able to end the reservation, even though he had a couple of nights stay, but we were able to end the reservation early. So,
So did your kids have the munchies at all?
The munchies.
No? Okay. Oh, yeah. Gotta love that. You're probably going to get more of that. At least it was just a little bit of that. I mean, and good thing Airbnb is, they like their reputation. And so they do some stuff to keep that going. So, well, that wasn't too terrible. Just a little bit of, but you didn't go down and join them and have a little, have a little hit. What is that what they call it these days? A hit? I don't know. That's not my thing. So I had an apartment building that was built in 1888. And when you have an apartment building built in 1888, it's just kind of like a person, right? They start to creak when they get older. And this building had plenty of creaks in it. It was, you know, old. It had old plumbing, it had old heating, it had old everything. I could probably fill up a whole episode with this building alone, but I'm going to just tell a couple of stories, and they're both to deal with plumbing. I might add a couple more. We'll see. So the first one I've actually told a little bit, so I'll make it short. On my wife's birthday, I was going to be cooking her dinner, and I get a phone call. I've got a plumbing shutoff valve to go to the tub. Plumbing shutoff valve popped off. So you can't shut the water off because of plumbing shutoff valve. This system was set up poorly. You didn't have shutoffs in each unit. You had a main shutoff for the entire building. That's it. Friday night, late, 6 o'clock, whatever it was, 5, 6 o'clock. My plumber's out of town. My handyman's out of town. I think my other maintenance guy, he was out of town. Couldn't get anybody to get to it. So I had to go down, fix it. I can't remember the exact details of it. But anyway, I had to skip part of my wife's birthday. She had to finish her dinner, cooking her dinner. I left her alone for a while on her birthday. Not cool. Second plumbing issue, I was actually, it was, I think, a Friday night, and it was in winter, it was cold, and this one area had exposed little spot, it was just a kind of like an overhang. There was a door, and then above it, there was part of the unit. Well, in that little spot, there was some plumbing running through there. Terrible design. I don't know how this hasn't happened to it a million times. Maybe it had. But at any rate, I was going to go to a Minnesota Wild game. And I got this phone call from the fire department that my building was flooding. And somebody needed to come immediately. So I was actually lived fairly close by. So I ran over there, like freaking out, wondering what the heck was going on. There was literally a waterfall coming from that unit above, filling up the doorway for the unit below. It flooded the one unit. It flooded the other unit. So flooded two units. The unit that it was in was actually vacant, which was, like, of course, crazy because nobody's there to stop it. By the time I got there, that tenant, they couldn't get out their door because it was an ice wall that had formed. It had been going for like 3 hours, and my caretaker at the building knew it was happening, and he was trying to figure out how to stop it himself and didn't call anybody. Finally called the fire department before I even knew. So anyway, so we got the water shut off, and then we had to figure out how to get this tenant to be able to get out of his unit. So they had to like chisel him out
of his unit. Jaws of life.
So they had to do that. And then I had to put two people up in a hotel because their units were both ruined. The other lady, I mean, wrecked her entire ceiling, destroyed it. Ceiling fell in. It was terrible. The other guy, ceiling fell in his kids' bedroom. It was unreal, the amount of water damage that was done. And it was all because of this little overhang thing. And so when we ripped it out, we found out that there was some air gaps that the wind could just go right up, and it froze the pipes. And so we had to, you know, reseal all that and insulate and do everything properly to put it back together. But yeah, talk about a nightmare. I did end up going to the Wild game. I had the guy that I was going to go with and meet with. I think we were going to go grab some drinks and dinner before. And he ended up just picking me up at the apartment building. So we did end up going to the Wild game, but we had a little bit of a nightmare to clean up for a long time. So that was pretty crazy. I have so many more on that apartment building. I could just like keep on going. There were so many plumbing issues. Don't buy a building that has old galvanized piping. And if you do, I shouldn't say don't buy it. Buy one, but count on replacing the pipes. And don't just try to piecemeal it together, because you're going to get issues like that. And those are nightmare issues, because had we just replaced that piping, now the last one where it froze, I mean, that would have been a little different story, because you still would have, copper would have done the same thing as galvanized. It wouldn't have mattered. But most of the issues, other than just that one, most of them, it would have saved us a lot of money, because we had a lot of damages. We had damages to ceilings because of plumbing. We had wall damages. We had flooring damages. So we had lots of damages to the building itself, where if we just would have replaced it from the start and counted on that, and we probably would have actually, we probably could have got all the plumbing done in the entire building for the price that it cost us to piecemeal the plumbing and fix the stuff that the bad pipes messed up. So, and a lot less headache, man. I mean, having tenants that are pissed off, I mean, think of it. If you're living in a place and every time you look up, there's water coming down, you're not going to be very happy. So we had a lot of irritated tenants at us all the time. That was a night. Talk about a Halloween story. That was a Halloween, like, apartment building. I was so happy to get rid of that thing. Made some good money too on the sale. So hey, it worked out. It was a happy story.
Nice.
Yeah. So
I've had a few experiences with frozen pipes as well. And those are frustrating to, you know, I mean, if you can't find out where they're at and have you dealt with that? Have you tried electrifying the pipes to get them to thaw out or?
Yeah. So I've gotten lucky a few times. We've had a few times where we've had some frozen pipes and we were able to, you know, just kind of slowly heat them up and get them to be running again. I did buy a foreclosure, and before we bought the foreclosure, the boiler was working. Everything was doing well. Did a walkthrough. I was super busy and I was closing on a lot of properties kind of all at the same time. And so I did a walkthrough maybe three, four days before closing. Closed on the property, and then like 2 or 3 days later went to the property, and the bank or whoever, not the bank, but the asset management company for the bank turned the heat off prior to us closing, and the pipes froze, the radiators all burst all over because they didn't winterize everything. They just shut it off. So the radiators burst everywhere. The boiler burst, the water heater burst. So we had an extra, I don't know what, I can't remember what it was. It was like 10 grand worth of repairs to do because of that, because the bank, the bank's representative turned the water or turned the heat off on us. And ultimately it was our fault, right? Because usually you inspect the property the day of closing or maybe even just the day before. And then usually you get to the property pretty much right away after closing because, you know, I was trying to do everything myself. That didn't happen. Again, my mistake, but it cost $10,000. It was a $10,000 mistake, which sucked. Yeah. Luckily we, you know, happily we made, you know, I don't remember, but we made money on the property, pretty good, a decent amount of money. So it worked out in the end, but still sucks. Still 10 grand that I could have avoided losing.
Yeah. In addition to the walkthrough, you got to make sure you get the utilities turned on and your name right away.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess my recent Halloween story, John, is I had a car that crashed through one of my buildings. I think most people that are listening know about that. So that was kind of a crazy nightmare story, getting text messages with this car sticking halfway through my building. Talk about a wild deal. So I think the overall like thought is, I was talking to, it was, I can't remember who I was talking to the other day. I was just talking to somebody yesterday, I think it was. And we were talking about, you know, real estate. Oh yeah, it was. It was one of my friends who's invests with me as well. And we were talking about real estate and you know, how a lot of people just think, oh, we're going to invest in real estate. And it's great, right? It's passive income and we can make a lot of money and, you know, they smell all the roses, but they don't think about the hardships. And running real estate is it's not a passive investment. I mean, you can passively invest in real estate, right? People passively invest in my syndications, and that's passive. But if you're going to actually be the person doing it, running it, you're going to have Halloween nightmare stories. You're running a business. It's no different than running a business. So you're still going to have the headaches and the problems, and you're dealing with tenants. And so you got all kinds of issues that go with it. You have to have thick skin, honestly. If you're not going to have thick skin, if you come into it thinking you're not going to have problems, I think you're going to go home in the fetal position at night and suck your thumb and cry. But you've got to understand, hey, there's going to be problems. There's going to be issues. Tenants are most of them are great, but you do have a few tenants that are not so great. So, and then you just got weird stuff with houses. Sometimes something can be weird. Like here's another story. I got a house in St. Paul. It's a 100-plus-year-old house. And we were fixing the joists because the second level joists were definitely weak, undersized. And so we ripped out the ceiling and we were going to redo these joists or actually sister along them to make them stronger. And the guy who was doing the work opened it up and he found human bones.
Oh, wow.
Somebody stashed a baby in the ceiling and plastered it in.
Wow.
So the, you know, he called the police, and the police came out, and they sent, I can't remember what department, but they sent somebody out to look at this, and they figured it was back in, like, you know, the early 1900s this had happened. And yeah, that, talk about like crazy weird stuff that you run into. Somebody's baby was in our ceiling. So yeah.
Yeah. That's some horrible stuff. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything, man. I got all kinds of these stories, John. They can keep on coming. They're all in my head. They're back here somewhere over here, but they're somewhere. I got
them. Well, I guess the other thing I'll say is just, you know, some people just look at the horror stories, and you and I know that even though we're highlighting this today,
it's
only a portion of it. And but some people, this is all they think exists in it, and so they're totally scared off of doing.
Right. People talk about like the tenants, the three T's, the tenants, toilets, and trash, or some people call, I don't know, some people have different words, but the three T's, I very rarely deal with a lot of that, like, oh, the leaking toilet at midnight. I've never had a call for something like that. The worst calls I've ever had were the ones that I've probably highlighted right now. But even those should have been avoidable. Like, you know, it's most of it's because because I didn't replace stuff that should have been replaced. So that's one way to avoid it, is actually having good properties that are in good condition and making sure all components of your property is in good condition. Now, that's never going to fix every single problem, because you're still going to have issues. But then the second way to fix it is have the right people and systems in place so you don't have to deal with it, especially at midnight. Then the third thing is train your tenants. My tenants don't call us at midnight because their toilet's overflowing. You are the one that clogged the toilet up. Don't use that toilet and shut the water off. Mm-hmm. How do they know how to shut off? Because we teach them how to shut it off. And so a lot of this stuff can be avoided if you just do some minor things up front, a little extra work, but a little extra work goes a long ways to help you avoid some of these issues. And yes, you're going to have horror stories if you own, you know, as many units as I do, or even as, you know, as few as a few units, you're still going to have some stories. But fun too.
It's just a badge of honor.
Yeah, badge of honor. Right. Something like that. I can't remember. Oh, I got another one that was really cool. So I get a call from, we get a call from our tenant that a truck was on fire in our yard. He sends pictures. This guy was drunk, and our property's on a T, right? And it's right at the T. So if you miss the stoplight sign and you go through the T, you go into our house. And this guy was drunk, plowed, and he was driving, went right through the stop sign, went right up the hill. And he went right through, it's up a hill. He destroyed our retaining wall and our stairs and the railing, and then went, and luckily, you know, he kind of went to the side then, and he went into our, we have a second lot there that we own, went into the second lot and hit an oak tree in that second lot. So the car started on fire, and he actually came out unscathed, that didn't even get hurt. But the great thing, so that was kind of wild. Like, I get all these pictures, I'm like, holy crap. So I call the insurance company, and what ended up happening? He couldn't cover the retaining wall. But what he could do is he could cover the stairs, which had some damages. They were pretty minor, but we were able to cover the stairs for, like, I think it was $4,800, which ended up covering the retaining wall as well. So it was pretty cool. The insurance adjuster was able to,
like, magnets for vehicles, sounds like.
Yeah, yeah, they are. Yeah, right. Yeah, I've got. No, I've only gotten two. I've only got two so far. So we're. insurance claims can be fun. I mean, those are sometimes difficult to deal with, but sometimes you can work it out pretty well. But you'd rather just not deal with insurance claims if I could avoid them. Yeah. Any other stories, John, that pop up in your head?
You know, I've shared the ones I'd like to. There's a few I don't want to share.
Yeah.
Because they're too scary. But anyways, no, I think you've covered quite a bit there.
I got one more. I shouldn't say one more. I got another one that's popping up in my head. I might have five more that I'll tell in just a second. We'll see. But another one just popped up in my head. We're buying this property we're going to flip. So not a tenant story, but actually it is a tenant story because it was a short sale. And in this short sale, there was tenants living there. And it was a family, and they had a couple kids. And so I walk in with my investor, and we walk through this property. And it was like parting of the Red Sea of cockroaches. Every step you took, all these little cockroaches ran. They were all over, everywhere. And you'd crunch half of them on your feet. On your shoes, because you didn't dare take your shoes off, of course. We're walking through this property, and open the door, and the cockroaches are falling from the door. There's kids that are sleeping there, laying there. It was unreal. So we ended up buying the property because, you know, property with a ton of cockroaches is always fun to buy. Yeah. You don't know what you're going to get. But the exterminator that we used said it was the worst he's ever seen. We had to rip open the walls. He had to come in like three or four extra times to treat, because he would treat and they would hide. So we had to like completely gut the kitchen. I think we had to gut the bathroom completely just to get rid of these cockroaches. It was so gross. It was unreal. And these people were living in it. So gross. Yeah. So that was fun. That was really neat.
Yeah, pests are my favorite thing to deal with.
Oh, and one more. Okay. How much time do we have?
We got to wrap this up.
So I was going into an apartment. I was looking at this. Oh no, it was a duplex, I think. So I was going in this duplex. It was a vacant foreclosure, and I got so many more. I walk in and everything's fine. I like this building, but the bathroom door is locked, and I'm like, what the heck? The bathroom door is locked. So I took out my credit card and I pop open the bathroom door and open it up and kind of look around. Okay, bathroom. Shower curtain, move the shower curtain. There's a guy squatting in the shower. I see his, you know, he's got this big fro. He's just looks up. He's literally squatting in the shower. He had his clothes on, but he was obviously not supposed to be living in this foreclosure. All I did is I see this dude squatting there. I pull the shower curtain. I see him there. I go, holy, and I maybe said a bad word, and I shut the shower curtain, and I ran out of that door as fast as I could. The whole time I'm like, the bullet's coming into my back. The bullet's going to hit my back. The bullet, you know, I'm just going out. I jump in my truck or car at the time, and I just haul as fast as I could out of there. I was so freaking scared this guy was going to shoot me. Oh, my gosh. You got a completely vacant house. You're not expecting this dude to be sitting in a bathtub. He was crunched down. I mean, he's hiding from me, obviously. He was probably like hoping I didn't beat the piss out of him too, or wasn't the cops. He was probably more like happy I wasn't the police out. The police.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And then happened to me another time. It was a little different. Just nobody was there, but I walked into a house and I was with another guy. So that was a little more comforting, but we're opening up this door and we kind of open up the door. And as we're opening it up, this guy comes out from what I thought was the alley. And he walks away and he's like, oh, hey, what are you guys doing? And I said, well, we're just looking at this house. Oh, okay, cool. Oh, is it for sale? Yep, it's for sale. All right. And then the guy walks away. And we're like, that was weird. So we go in the house and it smells like somebody just cooked a pizza in this foreclosure, like vacant foreclosure. Like, why does it smell like pizza in here? That's weird. And also we walk, we do the whole, you know, both the units, and there was there, you know, everything was fine except the pizza and pizza smell. So then we go down in the basement, and the basement was a cellar. So you had to walk out the outside, go down the cellar and go down. And sure enough, there's a pizza down there and there's needles everywhere.
Yeah.
Drug needles everywhere, all over. And that, and then it's like, oh, that was the guy that we saw. And then you look and it's, nope, it's not an alley. That was a driveway. That was the driveway to the house that he walked out of. So he was down there doing his drug, eating pizza. At least he was eating. So that's good. But yeah, so that was a little crazy too. I think I'm done. I could keep telling these stories, Jim.
Yeah, we got to cut you off there.
Cut me off. Maybe we'll do a Halloween episode part two and part three, part four, part five. Well, we might be doing these episodes till Christmas. I don't know. Awesome. Well, that's it. I'll wrap it up. I'll be done. But before we go, I just want to mention again, bcemovement.org, bcemovement.org. People can go on there and they can nominate a family. So, and I'm really serious. If you got any families that you know that have a hardship, or if you want to even like, you know, connect with people that you might know people that have a hardship, you know, nominate a family. That would be awesome. We want to make a difference in some people's lives. So.
That's great, Todd. There's a lot of people that are in hurting situations, and you know, it's great if we can come together as the human race and help them out.
Yeah, you know, we can do our part, and of course, you know, we can't solve everybody's problems, but if we all do our part, we can definitely help it. And you know, it's all about, you got to take care of your fellow humans, right? And what you can do to help make other people's lives better is only going to help overall. So
yeah, absolutely.
All right, man. Well, I think that's a wrap.
Yeah. And to our listeners, if you've got some horror stories you want to share, we can do that on our Facebook page, Pillars of Wealth Creation. We could go ahead and just comment on the YouTube video or other podcast stations where you're listening to us. So be sure to check us out there.
I would love to hear some horror stories. Maybe what we'll do, John, is if anybody does comment, and depending on how many comments we have, and you've got a horror story you want to tell, maybe if it's a long horror story, we'll reach out to you and tell you to email it to us or something like that. But then we can share it on one of our next episodes too. We'll pick maybe one or two and share them.
Yeah, so. It'll be a contest to see who has the best one.
Best scary story. Yeah, awesome, John. Well, you have a great rest of the day, man. Make every day a Saturday.
You too.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy to understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars to claim your free course today.